The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to the Monday Recap Show of Week 11 Action. Field and Matthew hanging out with you. A Monday tradition that we enjoy very much. Quite the week. Weird fantasy week, I felt like, to be honest with you, Matthew.
Super weird. You know, it's one of those things where I always feel like, you say that a lot on Mondays. Not you, I just mean in general.
Right,
like fantasy
general.
Players say that in general, where it's just like, wow, that was a weird week. And what's interesting is that I always feel like it's genuine, and yet it's always weird in a different way, and it's one of those things where you sort of like, well, maybe that's the normal, right? Maybe weird is the normal. Is that sure. It's the NFL? It's a, you know, as my friend Joe Bryan always likes to say, it's a game played with a leather ball in an oblong shape. Weird stuff is going to happen.
No question about that.
So, but like, it is like just when you think you can count on some stuff, you know. Cameron Brake gets 14 targets.
Right, but I think
Bo Scarborough is a thing. You know, it's just like all of a sudden.
But
yeah,
don't you think what it is, and I could be wrong here.
Yeah.
I think what it is that we came into the year with, like, I don't know, expectations of maybe like 15 to 18 players that every single week you would expect them to have a monster day and you really wouldn't think twice about it.
Right.
And yet, yes, like I think what we've really realized is that there's got to be what? Like six of those guys that you actually have this year, Christian McCaffrey, Mike Thomas amongst them, Lamar Jackson amongst them, like, but even Dalvin Cook yesterday, who I think eventually found the end zone, like it wasn't a monster Dalvin Cook game.
Wasn't a monster Dalvin Cook game. Yeah, it is. And it's what's weird is that while there has been a number of disappointing players, Le'Veon Bell hasn't lived up to draft status, David Johnson, like we got to get into that whole thing. Like, when you think about some of the guys that went in the first round, you think about the wide receiver position, which has been desperate, whether it's injury or, like, whatever. And we'll see what Keenan Allen does tonight. But, I mean, you know, bad game for Mike Evans, like, with no Marshawn Lattimore.
Too. I mean, he found the end zone, but still.
Yeah, but right, not a great Chris Godwin game. But even still, but think about, like, the first seven, like, Devontae Adams, obviously, he's missed a lot of time due to injury. Like, Juju has fallen off the map, and obviously that has to do with the quarterback play somewhat. But
Julio.
You know, Julio.
No touchdowns in seven straight games.
I mean, right. So
weird times right now in fantasy football.
But the weird part about this is that usually when there are players at the top that falter, there's usually guys that, you know, sort of emerge, and it doesn't, like, wide receivers are a little bit different. There have been the DJ Charks of the world that have sort of emerged, right?
Yeah.
But there haven't been, like, the proponents of zero RB have been it's been a tough year for the zero RB crowd. And I'm not knocking that strategy, by the way. It's a fine strategy.
I've played in a couple leagues.
Yeah, 100%. As have I. Like, so I'm not knocking zero RB, but I'm just saying, like, next year when people are writing pre-draft, you know, and we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But as of this moment, if you are writing, you know, your draft strategy article for 2020, you're not going to have a lot to hang your hat on if you're promoting zero RB from the 2019 season, right? I mean, you have pops here and there, the Bo Scarboroughs of the world. Kenyon Drake is suddenly a thing, but it's not like,
you know what?
There's nothing
I
you feel great about. Like, there's no mid to late round running back that you feel great about the way that, like, Damian Williams popped at the end of last year, sort of thing.
So I think my lesson would be, and not that we haven't learned this in previous years, but I think maybe this year it has been cemented to me in a way that maybe it hasn't as much in previous years, is that we both play in a lot of leagues. You play in like basically an incalculable amount of leagues, right? But every year, no matter how many leagues I play in, I end up gravitating towards a lot of the same players from time to time. And so there are players that I have basically zero exposure to, whether I play in two leagues or whether I play in 12 leagues. And I think that just like, maybe I need to remind myself, like Derrick Henry, for example, is a player I have zero exposure to this year. And
yeah.
I wish I had.
Me,
so
same,
maybe
I faded
that's my
him.
Learn is that like,
I faded him.
No
that
matter
was a mistake
how much
on
you
my
want
part.
To fade somebody, maybe consider investing more heavily, or at least investing period on those players. I'm going to ask Daniel to press the drops. So we can get to football in a second. But I'm going to ask you, Matthew,
Hey, can someone send
question.
Me the, by the way, can someone, like I just tweeted the link that I was sent for the broadcast, and it's I'm getting a bunch of tweets back saying, like, not, it says broadcast not available. That link doesn't exist. Can someone
okay,
send that to me?
Yeah, we can work on that.
So in the meantime, Matthew, a trivia question for you. Are you ready?
Sure. What do you got? Here, I'll retweet the at Fantasy Focus.
There you go. At Fantasy link. Focus link has been retweeted by Matthew.
There you go. All right. What do we got?
And I'm going to give you the duration of the drop to think about this question and come up with the answer. Who, as of right now, pending Monday Night Football, is the leading scorer amongst all players in fantasy football for Week 11?
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Do you know the answer?
I want to say Jeff Driskel.
No, but that's a good guess. Very good guess. We'll talk about Jeff Driskel later on in the show.
So it's not Jeff Driskel. Yeah. I have not looked at the scoring leaders. You know, I sort of look at the box
scores,
the
waiver
recaps,
column, so I'm looking at it meticulously from about, you know, 4 p.m.
Sure.
on yesterday. So I'm not blaming you here. I was surprised too when I saw it.
Yeah,
one more guess.
Not Kyle Rudolph.
Nope.
I would assume it's a quarterback. Lamar Jackson.
Smokey Brown.
Oh, Brown. Smokey Brown. That's a good one too.
Smokey Brown, been one of the best acquisitions in free agency of the offseason. So let's get to the stuff from yesterday that matters.
I forgot the second touchdown by John Brown. Yep,
but he's been unbelievable, hasn't he? Marlon Mack fractured his hand yesterday for the Colts, a game in which he played really well, Marlon Mack did. But prior to the injury, Matthew, we already saw some of Jonathan Williams. So it wasn't as if Jonathan Williams only took off once Marlon Mack left the game. But Marlon Mack leaves and it becomes Jonathan Williams' show. Here's what we know about Marlon Mack. It's a broken hand. He's a running back. He carries the football for a living. He's not going to play on Thursday night.
I feel like that's bad.
Adamson.
I feel like when you need to carry the football and your hand is broken.
Generally speaking, it's bad.
It's bad.
So Marlon Mack.
I just tell you, like, my daughter broke both of her arms. She couldn't carry a football.
It's a good point. You know what? She could find a way because she's so cute.
She's adorable and she's itty bitty, so she could sneak under legs. I mean, she's a little bitty thing. She's
a
little
that's
nugget.
A good point.
My little nugget. But she's got these broken hands.
Aww.
Poor little thing. So Marlon Mack is not going to. They play Thursday night against the Texans, so he's not playing that game.
Jeffy has already reported he's not going to play on Thursday night. The timeline beyond that is unclear, but I think for right now, there are a ton of people asking, okay, Marlon Mack is out. Waivers are obviously going to run Tuesday night, and we'll have a full waiver show tomorrow, as we always do. But let's imagine this. Let's just imagine, and we have no idea if it's going to be the case, that this is a multi-week absence from Marlon Mack, which, again, does not seem that crazy to think that a guy who carries a football for a living could miss multiple games with a broken hand.
Now, I mean, you think about David Johnson from a couple years ago. Like, he broke his thumb.
And it was wrist, right?
And he was out for the rest of the year. Now, that team was going nowhere, and the Colts obviously have playoff aspirations here.
And things are different, obviously. We're
no Starfanya Bell, so certainly follow her on Twitter, at Stefania ESPN, underscore ESPN, at Stefania underscore ESPN. I'm sure she'll have some updates as soon as she gets them. I'm sure she's, finding that. But, yes. There's a chance that it is significantly, that he could miss multiple weeks here. There's certainly a legit chance.
There is a chance, and we're passing along water to Matthew.
Thank you very much.
So for those of you who are wondering why I'm grasping
I forgot water.
The screen.
I forgot water.
You
so
water?
Not Cool Keith brought me water.
What a guy,
I did.
Not
I was
Cool Keith.
I was
teamwork
I was,
makes the dream work, baby.
I was, yeah. Well, listen, I was late this morning. It's my daughter. So if you read my Love Hate column last week, my daughter broke both of her arms. She broke, in your forearm, you have two bones, and she broke both of them in both arms.
What are those two bones, Matthew Berry?
They are the ulnar and the radius.
I'm so proud of you, man. Good for you, bud.
By the way, I learned that a
Andy
week ago.
Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd.
Right. Yeah.
I think you said ulnar.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bengals offense and Bengals defense. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, here's what we know. So let's go.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, it's my daughter's first day back at school.
Right.
Like, she's going on a partial day. They're getting her an aid because she can't ride the whole thing. But anyway, so we had a lot going on this morning at the Berry household, so didn't have time to get water. Thank
Berry
you, not
morning.
Cool Keith. So anyway, let's get back into the running backs here, and we can reset a little bit for the video team that probably doesn't want to hear about my daughter. All right, so I think the question is, the expectation is that Marlon Mack is going to miss at least this Thursday game and possibly more games.
Correct.
So the question becomes, which running back do you get? Now, Jordan Wilkins was inactive for this game. He has been running as Marlon Mack's backup for the majority of the year.
Yep.
But he was inactive for this game, not 100% healthy. Jonathan Williams, who was a big time prospect a couple of years ago.
And Colts GM Chris Ballard has an affinity for this player.
Like, yep.
He targeted him as an acquisition. And Jordan Wilkins has had opportunities before, and not that he's been a bad player, but what we saw yesterday from Jonathan Williams is probably the best fill-in duty we've seen from anybody in replacing Marlon Mack over the past two seasons, right?
13 for 116 yards. He caught a ball for 31 yards, 15.7 fantasy points. If you're the starting running back of the Indianapolis Colts, the fifth run-heaviest team in the NFL, and one of, if not the best offensive line in the NFL, that's a very fantasy-relevant position.
It sure is. So Jonathan Williams, who's available in exactly 100% of leagues, would be a priority waiver ad for me this week because following the logic that if yesterday Jordan Wilkins is not healthy enough to go, things can change in 100 hours, but it feels like a lot would have to change for him to be fully healthy and then to also play and play a lot to the point that Jonathan Williams wouldn't actually be a factor on Thursday night. So I think Jonathan Williams has a chance to be a flex consideration this week.
I think that's absolutely correct. Look, you'll see some Nyheim Hines in this, and I think if Jordan Wilkins is healthy and active, he'll see some run as well. So I think it'll be a running back by committee. But to your point, look, Chris Ballard likes this kid. He performed well. He got a shot on Sunday, and he performed great in a victory for the Colts. And so now he's going to get another chance. And so Jonathan Williams, who's, I think this is his fourth year off the top of my head.
Third or fourth, something like that.
You know, and he's bounced around. He was with the Bills for a while. He's bounced around the NFL, and so I think Jonathan Williams, without knowing the kid at all, has to believe, like, here's your chance. Like, you, this is your shot right. At, you know, really changing the future of your NFL career. And so, you know, and it's not a matchup with the Texans that scares you.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if you guys watched the Texans-Ravens game yesterday, you know, the Texans have they have a lot of issues defending anybody against the run. So I think, leading into the week, as you prepare for waiver claims, Jonathan Williams will be one of the 3 to 5 top ads, understanding that there are just 4 teams left on a bye, so some people are not necessarily looking to actively approach the waiver wire as much as they have been over the past 4 or 5 weeks, when you could be filling in your quarterback and your wide receiver spots and your tight end spots in a given week. But interesting player.
Yes, and I would also say, and I think this is just as, because we're entering a crucial week. Week 12 is like we're, you know, we've got just 2 weeks
left of the regular season.
We got 2 weeks left in the regular season. You are making a playoff push. And so I see this gets debated a lot. And so I just want to put this out there, and you can tell me if you disagree with this statement as the author of our free agents finds column.
Yes.
I believe sometimes the best offense is a good defense. And sure. So even if I didn't need a running back, but if I need a win this week and I'm playing a guy that needs a running back, or I'm playing the guy that has Marlon Mack, I have no problem picking up Jonathan Williams, even if I have no intention of using him whatsoever. I have no issue with that whatsoever. Like, he was out there for everyone. If you've got a higher waiver priority, you've got more fab money left, however you guys divvy up your free agents, like, that's the rules. And so I've got no problem, like, why are you taking my handcuff? Should have drafted him before.
Right.
Should have done a little more research. So I got no issue with, if you're playing Marlon Mack, you know, the guy that has Marlon Mack on his roster, the man or woman, take him. I have no issue with that. So sometimes look at who you're playing, look at the scenario in your league, and just because you don't need somebody doesn't mean somebody else doesn't.
And so I don't want to speak out of both sides of my mouth here, but we do have some optimism surrounding Jonathan Williams, but we also have a cautionary tale in the form of Brian Hill. Brian Hill, who actually jumped in for Devontae Freeman in week 10
yeah.
when Freeman got hurt with a foot injury early in the game. 20 carries, 60 yards, 1 catch, 10 yards and a touchdown, and we all thought, hey, he's going to be the guy this week. He should have a monster opportunity.
In a great matchup against a Panthers defense that coming into that week had allowed 17 rushing touchdowns. Not only the most in the NFL, but 5 more than anyone else in the NFL.
Correct. Yep. Like, it has been a brutal run defense so far for Carolina. This game was wonky in a lot of ways, including the fact that Brian Hill laid an egg. And that's okay, by the way. It's 15 carries for 30 yards, 1 catch for 8 yards. They won this game. The Falcons now have won back-to-back games coming out of their bye and have been much more inspired and frankly look like the team we kind of expected them to be going into this season. Devontae Freeman is week to week, Matthew. Would you be comfortable starting any Falcons running back over the next couple of weeks until Devontae Freeman returns? Because although Brian Hill did lead the team in total touches and running back opportunities, we still saw some Kenyon Barner, who, for those of you looking at his fantasy scoring and saying, how did he have close to 10 points? He returned a punt
for a touchdown. That's correct.
And Kadri Allison. had some snaps as well.
Yeah, Kadri Allison basically vultured him at the goal line here. Yep. I will say, in Brian Hill's defense, he had a touchdown that was called back due to a holding penalty. Right. So he did actually get into the end zone, and then it was a holding penalty. So tough. But it's a weird one, right? And so in a game in which the Falcons won 29-3 and dominated throughout, against a bad run defense, Brian Hill managed 2 yards per carry. And it's not a small sample size.
I mean, no, it's not.
He got 15 carries. And the team as a whole had 26.
Right.
In terms of the running backs, I mean, you know, listen, Matt Ryan got two rushes. Matt Schaub got one in mop-up duty. They did a reverse or an end-around with Julio Jones. So of the running backs, he got 15 of the 21. I'm sorry, the 22. Keith Smith got a carry, too. He got 15 of the 22 running back carries. So he got an ample opportunity here.
Yes, he did.
Now, he also tweeted at the end of the game. Did you see his tweet?
He did. He said something to the effect of, like, I should apologize to my fantasy owners, but I don't care.
Right. And a laughing emoji.
Right.
Like a crying laughing emoji.
And by the way, good. You don't have to care.
But here's the thing I don't get. I just want to, I'm just curious.
Why even tweet it?
Yeah, like, I thought about responding and then I didn't. And, like,
I'm glad you did.
Right. Because, whatever, it's Brian Hill. But here's what I would just say, just in general, just a conversation here. I'm not trying to attack Brian Hill, okay? But just in general, I would just say, to the extent that anyone, to an NFL, I'm sure NFL players don't listen to this, but I know that there's some agents.
Brady
probably listens to our podcast, but other than Brady, I don't think anyone really does. But here's what I would, if I had Brian Hill's best interests at heart, like if I was his agent, his manager, you know, a PR person that was interested, I would say to him, I would say, listen, Brian, you're a third round player who is a fifth round pick. You're the third string running back on a 3-7 team.
Yep.
The only people that were rooting for Brian Hill yesterday, other than the most diehard of Falcons fans, were fantasy managers.
Yeah.
And I believe the majority of people that were interested in Brian Hill's performance yesterday, like however many number of people that is, 85% of those people are fantasy managers that picked up Brian Hill. And so you don't have to care about fantasy performances. You shouldn't. Your entire focus should be about helping the Atlanta Falcons win, which you did. Congratulations, 29-3. It's an impressive road victory for Atlanta. But why insult? Why troll? Why laugh? Ha ha, I didn't do good in fantasy, but I don't care. Why do that to a bunch of people that were legitimately just rooting for you?
So
that suddenly had interest in you and were rooting for you?
Because here's a couple of thoughts here. First of all, there probably were some people that barked at Brian Hill on Twitter. And we don't ever condone that. We tell people,
don't do that. 100%. Okay, we always say that.
No matter how much we tell them that, Matthew, people are going to do it.
Yes.
Second of all, Jackie McMullen, for those who, if you don't know Jackie McMullen, go get educated.
She's a legend.
Legit GOAT. One of the ways I think that Jackie is so unique and so special is that her ability to understand the psychology of athletes and portray it in a meaningful way.
Sure.
In her reporting, in her analysis. And I think that some of this comes down to the idea that, like, Brian Hill's a human. And if your team wins 29-3 in what becomes probably the first start of your career, maybe the last start of your career with the Falcons, who knows? And you guys are riding high after two victories and you open up your phone, and who knows what kind of notifications he does or does not have on.
Sure.
And you might see a bunch of venom. I think it's a pretty simple bounce back. I think it's just, I'm a human, and you guys are trying to cut me down, mitigate my performance, and I don't care. We're 2-0. I don't have to go to work tomorrow because we have Victory Monday, right? So, like,
right.
Fear not. I'm laughing. I'm the one who's, you know, fifth round pick. I don't know where Brian Hill's from. I know he played at Wyoming. He may be the most successful person to ever emerge from his respective high school, wherever that is.
Sure.
So I think again, we're getting a little more deeper than just sort of fantasy football analysis here. I think that's kind of the root of it. It's like,
I get it. I get it. And I understand. And listen, people are awful on Twitter. Like, you should see my mentions. Like, you know, people are awful on Twitter.
I'm nice to you on Twitter.
Not even. Like, actually, you're one of the worst. Actually, you're actually one of the worst people on Twitter.
Legit, 100%. Right. Like, full-on troll status, I mean, all the time.
Like, if Brian Hill has an audience filled with Field Yates's, I completely understand.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, like, right. So, like, whatever. Twitter is an awful place. There's no question about it. And you know, and I don't believe, and to Twitter's credit, they at least publicly admit this, that they have not done nearly enough to figure out solutions to curb people's behavior and save people from their worst instincts. But while they continue to work through that issue, I would argue that while whether it's fantasy managers chirping or upset Falcons fans. Maybe he doesn't get much of the ire because he hasn't started before. Like when they've been, when they were 2-7, when they were 1-7, you know, I mean, like, so maybe he doesn't see much of that, but that's part of the gig of being in the public eye. And I get it. Listen, I haven't always been the best on Twitter either. There have been moments when I have, you know, where
haven't always been the best, or
I haven't
have
always
ever been the best.
I feel like once about 3 years ago, I had a pretty good tweet. you know, just sort of, you know, it caught some wind.
Was
and,
it the time that you were talking about deleting your account? That was awesome.
The probably have been that. But anyway, I get it. I understand it. I just feel like just don't, to quote the great Herm Edwards, don't hit send.
Don't hit send indeed. Let's talk about the Redskins, Matthew. As if
but anyway, we didn't answer the question, which is my feeling is that no. I mean, so they play Tampa Bay next week.
Right, good run defense. Right,
very good run defense. And so, no, I would not feel like if you picked up Brian Hill, you're like, woohoo, I won the lottery. Like, not really, not feeling good. We'll see if Devontae Freeman is back this week. It doesn't look like he will be. But after this performance, in a game in which they dominated and they were up in a good matchup, again, if there's not a holding penalty on Brian Hill's touchdown, maybe we're looking at this a little bit differently. But
there was.
He's going to be
and
a.
Such is life. Yep.
There's going to be a. Brian Hill is going to be, at best, a desperation flex against the Buccaneers.
So I have some good
next
news.
Week.
I have some good news. The Redskins scored a touchdown yesterday.
Woo, baby!
After setting the record, at least since 2001, with 16 straight quarters without a touchdown.
Hail the Redskins. Hail victory.
The Redskins scored a touchdown yesterday. They got waxed by the Jets, 34-11. And I think the takeaways, or at least the questions, are regarding two players, Matthew. Darius Geis made his... not season debut, but almost like his season re-debut after getting injured all the way back in week one. He had 7 carries for 24 yards, and he had one of the two Redskins offensive highlights from the day. A 45-yard touchdown on a screen pass that allowed his day to turn into a 13.9 fantasy point effort. However, is Adrian Peterson far too involved for Darius Geis' performance to even matter, Matthew?
Yes.
That's kind of how I feel, too, is that yesterday...
It was one great play, and it showed you sort of the explosiveness of Darius Geis. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was going to say, he didn't have a touch until 8:57 left in the first half. Like, Adrian Peterson is a starter, and I would tell you that what the team should do, the one that is 1-9 and tumbling towards a top-2 draft pick, is play every young player and develop the heck out of those players. But I would also say that this is not a normal team. Adrian Peterson, I think, will continue to get out there every single week, in part because they're the Redskins, and in part because he is so respected within that locker room, which I guess those two tie together. I think maybe the Redskins also are sort of protecting Darius Geis a little bit, because this is a player who's had multiple major injuries already since he entered the NFL, that a 25-carry game on a week-to-week basis feels fleeting to me.
It does, and so... You know, interesting, we were having a call this morning with the producers of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. We're sort of planning out our waiver wire show, and they asked me, did I want Darius Geis to be the number one running back waiver claim on our show? And I said no, because for the reasons that you just laid out and what I would talk about is that, look, it's a bad offensive line. That play hopefully showed you sort of what I've been talking about for a year and a half, is that Darius Geis is a big play waiting to happen. He's an insanely talented running back that he was, you know, a lot of scouts, and I don't consider myself a scout, but I shared this opinion, thought that after Saquon Barkley, he was the second best running back coming out of college last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he gets derailed by injuries. And one of the things I talked about in the preseason this year was like he's a good pass catcher. People don't appreciate that because they didn't use him that way at LSU. But having spoken to Redskins coaches and people around the front office, like, I knew that was something they did with him in practice and they were really impressed with. So I think what that play does is it shows you the potential of Darius Geis, the explosiveness, the run after catch ability, the ability to catch the ball, you know, and the vision and the speed. And so, like, there's a lot there to like about Darius Geis. But I would completely agree with you, Field, is that this is not a normal franchise. It's not being run like a normal franchise. It's not being coached like a normal franchise.
Correct.
Because you would think that they would be like, yep, we're 1-9. The season hasn't gone the way we wanted to. Let's develop our young players. And so they're doing that a little bit with Dwayne Haskins. But, look, they should have traded Adrian Peterson at the trade deadline. Because there was interest in him. And he's a 34-year-old running back on a friendly deal. Like,
so the takeaway is that anyway, no, we're not ready to trust Darius Geis, and it may not come at all this season if the team continues to be dedicated to Adrian Peterson. Meanwhile,
it is worth noting. I don't mind picking him up.
Yeah, because, I said the same thing in the waiver.
Right.
Go ahead and grab him.
I mean, like, their upcoming schedule isn't bad, certainly for running backs, right? I mean, so Detroit, Carolina, Green Bay are the next three. None of them are run defenses that scare you. But this offense looks dysfunctional.
Well,
the offensive line looks brutal. And, I mean, he scored on one big play.
One touchdown in the past 17 quarters. So that leads us to Terry McLaurin, who, awesome, we love him, and he has been a real revelation.
Well, they actually scored two quarters. They scored two.
I'm sorry, you're right. 34-17 was the final. They scored two touchdowns yesterday, so two in the past 17 quarters.
Really, yeah, Jeremy Sprinkle caught a touchdown as well.
Overall amount of touchdowns for them. But Terry McLaurin, Matthew, has really, really, actually tapered off, but it's not really his fault, right?
No.
He hasn't hit double-digit points since week six against Miami. Are we at the point now where he is desperation, flex, that's about it?
Desperation wide receiver four is where he is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so my expectation is so they are at Detroit next week. I'm sorry, Detroit is at Washington.
Yeah.
It's the Barry Squirrel Bowl, baby.
What's the wager there?
We'll have to
figure
that out.
Yeah, we'll figure out a wager for that one.
Right. Me and you on Friday, we'll do something for that.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all in.
We have Kyle versus Devonia, Packers versus 49ers. Big
Nobody cares about their teams.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
That's just, it is what it is.
You think people are at home going like, oh, but it's also a Kyle. No one even knows.
They care about our teams, not us.
No,
they care about our teams a lot more.
No, I think they care about you more than they care about the Packers. No one cares about the Packers.
More people know Thirsty Kyle from the 06010 podcast than know, oh, you know who Kyle's team is? It's the Packers.
No, I agree.
No one knows who your team is.
They don't care about my team. I'm saying the Packers is an entity versus the 49ers. Like, it's a more important NFL game than Redskins-Lions.
Yes, it is a more important NFL game. But for our little universe, our dumb little 0601 universe, given the amount of time we've talked Lions and Redskins on this podcast,
well, then I hope you
especially
guys have
in
a great
relation
wager.
To Daniel and I, yes, we
I
will
hope
absolutely
you have a
do
great,
something.
Great
wager. We will do a wager. Like, I don't know, loser has to buy Stefania dinner. I think that's probably what she'll suggest.
Oh, that's probably fair. And then neither one of us get the points as a part of the wager.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's the Barry Dot Bowl on Friday in week 12 here. But my expectation is that you would see Darius Slay on Terry McLaurin. I just don't know who else he would shadow from the Redskins. Look, he got a 41-yard catch late, which sort of bailed you out. But, like, I watched a lot of that game, and I'm like,
sorry.
Yeah, it was brutal. Like, and by the way, just so people understand, when I say I watched a lot of that game, it makes it sound like we watch all the games at the same time because we're doing this Monday at 10 a.m. Like, right. we don't have time to go back and watch each game individually before this podcast. And so, anyway, McLaurin, it was just like pulling teeth. You're just like, oh, please give me something, because I had to start McLaurin in the war room. And anyway, I don't believe there is any fantasy relevant player on this team that you can feel good about starting in anything, any situation other than as a desperation, like hope they fall into the end zone kind of way.
We'll talk about Devontae Parker in a minute, but first, a word from our movie star, Matthew, about other movie stars in the upcoming film, 21 Bridges.
So the new movie, 21 Bridges, stars Chadwick Boseman, you know, Black Panther.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
So you call him Black Panther. Other people may call him Chadwick. I call him my co-star, of course. You know, Chadwick and I both in Avengers Endgame, the highest grossing movie of
Pretty
all time.
Awesome, huh?
And by the way, you know who directed Avengers Endgame? The Russo brothers, Joe and Anthony Russo. Joe, of course, a friend of the podcast. We love Joe here. Big fantasy player. Played in our celebrity league for many years.
Right,
so,
aware of that. Yeah.
This movie is actually from the Russo brothers. So it's 21 Bridges. It stars Chadwick Boseman. It's from the Russo brothers. And basically, Chadwick plays a fearless New York City detective who pulls off the manhunt of the century in search for two dangerous killers on the loose field. The story unfolds over one epic night. The clock is ticking. He goes to extreme measures by shutting down the entire island of Manhattan. That means all 21 bridges are on complete lockdown. And that's where the title comes from. The movie's called 21 Bridges. There's 21 bridges.
I did not get that. Now I'm understanding. I am tracking.
Yep, there you go. So, by the way, and it's not just Chadwick Boseman. We all loved him as Black Panther, so it's going to be fun to watch him. But including Chadwick, you also got Stephen James, Taylor Kitsch, J.K. Simmons, Sienna Miller. J.K. Simmons, of course, you know what movie he was in?
Many of them.
He was in many of them, but
yeah, he was in a couple.
Yeah, what's the one with the drummer? He was in. Stop it! You guys remember? I just completely blanked on what's he won the Oscar for?
Spinal Tap.
No, stop it. Is there an animal?
Almost Famous.
Drumline.
I hate all of you.
Drumline. Was it Drumline?
It's not Drumline. It's Whiplash.
Oh, of course. That was the next one I had.
Yeah, I hate both of you so much. Anyway, J.K. Simmons was in Whiplash with our friend Miles Teller, who was also a member of the Celebrity League.
I know that guy.
Miles Teller got a lot of love on Twitter yesterday.
Miles Teller's awesome. What?
Well, because he went to the Eagles game, and the Eagles do a good job of incorporating them to their sort of publicity for the game, because he's, as you said, diehard Eagles fan.
Diehard Eagles fan, yes.
Yes.
So anyway, J.K. Simmons, who's an amazing actor, he's in this, as is Sienna Miller. She's great. All of them, along with Chadwick Boseman. Listen, we all loved watching him in Black Panther. Can't wait to see him own New York, being a hero of the streets. You got to check out 21 Bridges. It's only in theaters November 22nd, this Friday. 21 Bridges. Support the podcast. Support our friends, the Russo brothers, and go see 21 Bridges. Or you know what? Honestly, like, don't tell anyone I said this. Buy tickets to 21 Bridges and then sneak in to see whatever you want. We just care about the ticket sales, I think.
You know what? I think you'll appreciate the movie. So go see the movie
after
you buy the
ticket. I will say this. It looks great. It really does look great. And
that's a lot of bridges to shut down, too. I'm interested to figure out how they do that. Logistically.
Logistically.
Yeah.
Hey, Matthew.
Anyway. And also, let's go see 21 Bridges. It looks awesome. And I know I've talked to Joe about it. I know he's very excited about it as well.
Did you know that Kirk Cousins has not thrown an interception in 177 straight passes? Did you know
that Redskins
Carson Wentz has thrown a touchdown in 13 straight games? Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay. Those are not the most impressive streaks. Okay. DeVante Parker has been on the ESPN Fantasy waiver wire column for what feels like about 37 straight weeks. What must he do to cross the 50% roster ship threshold to get him off the waiver column? Does 20.5 fantasy points work for you, Matthew?
Seriously, it does.
Seven catches for 135 yards yesterday. And what about the formula has not been obvious? They're not very good. They have to throw it a lot. They don't have very many wide receivers. DeVante Parker was at one time the 14th pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
He has been disappointing, but there are some things that he naturally is able to do that nobody else on that team is able to do. What more do we have to do to get him off the waiver wire column? Every week I'm writing about him.
Right. Five catches or a touchdown in seven straight games, you know. He's been a touchdown machine as long as Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
And he's going to be for the whole year.
Yeah.
Absent, I mean, why wouldn't they?
We've said this before. Fitzy has absolutely supported multiple fantasy relevant wide receivers over the course of his career. He is not an amazing NFL quarterback, but he's a competent one. He's a professional NFL quarterback. And again, he is good enough to, whether it's Brandon Marshall, you know, when he was with the Jets, or you think about, you know, Evans and Godwin last year during the time that he was starting for Tampa Bay, like over the course of his career, go back to his Texans days, like he's been on a lot of teams and he supported a lot of fantasy relevant wide receivers as well. So DeVante Parker should absolutely be picked up. I think he's, to me, and there's a lot of wide receivers out there, but I would prefer DeVante Parker to Deebo Samuel.
I would say, right, it's a coin flip. Those are the two names that lead the waiver column this week, and it just may be a matter of what you're looking for, I guess. DeVante Parker might have a higher floor, but Deebo Samuel might have a higher ceiling, just a better overall offense.
Yeah, my concern on Deebo Samuel is he, you know, an impressive player. Like, I really liked him a lot coming out of college, and we talked about him sort of in the preseason in terms of rookies, but, you know, Emmanuel Sanders banged up, George Kittle not in this game. What happens when they get back to full health? Is he still producing at this kind of level? It was obviously a great matchup with Arizona. But yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of a 1-2 there. You asked the question, Field, what do we have to do to get DeVante Parker off the waiver wire? Do you think it's just people not reading your column?
That's exactly what it is.
Should we, is the solution,
ignore,
Keith?
Yes. So, you want to write the column?
I can farm it out to somebody. I have somebody that can write it for me. Do we, Not Cool Keith, do you think that's the solution here? Not Cool Keith, as people that may not know this, but Not Cool Keith, when he's not sitting here listening to our nonsense, he is the fantasy football editor for ESPN. So he oversees all of our fantasy football coverage here at the Worldwide Leader. And so among the duties he does is he says, Field, go write the waiver wire column. Do you think that's the issue? Should we get, like, what about Tristan? If, like, Tristan or Carabel or somebody like that, we got Mike Clay to write another column? We made Thirsty Kyle write it because he's desperate to write it.
Yeah, I think maybe
he's
Ken thirsty. Dobby. Maybe if Ken Dobby wrote it.
Oh, we bring back Ken Dobby. We could do that.
Oh, yeah.
We love Ken Dobby.
Ken loves the fact that he gets name drops like 4 or 5 times a season.
He must love that. You're right. Yeah.
I know.
No doubt.
Understand Ken Dobby left of his own. We would love Ken Dobby back. Ken Dobby has a big, big job in the real world.
And yeah, he would love to be writing for us as well.
Yeah, exactly. So much love to Ken Dobby. He's not here, not at our choice. We wish he was back.
Why don't we share one more stat then to push him past?
Not Cool Keith didn't give us an answer. Anyway, the question to you, Not Cool Keith, as somebody oversees the entire fantasy football coverage of ESPN, do you think the reason Devontae Parker is not over 50% is just people have tuned out Field at this point? They're tired of him. They just don't read it. They gloss over it.
Good chance of that. Yes.
Fair enough. That's what I thought.
Good chance.
Okay. Well, one more stat to help. Maybe they don't read my call. Maybe they listen to this podcast.
We told them just to download it,
okay.
But all right.
Well, wide receiver 11 in total points since week 6.
Dude.
He's wide receiver 19 on a per game basis.
What? You're telling me that there is
Amari Cooper.
There's a guy out there that is not rostered in 50% of leagues. That's wide receiver 11 since week 6.
Correct.
Week 6.
Yes,
week
correct.
6.
That means 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
What's happening? What's going on? What am I missing here?
People are sometimes not listening.
Or reading.
Listen up! Go find Devontae Parker on your waiver wire column, and maybe...
Feels like maybe less craft beer posts on Instagram and more Devontae Parker posts. Something to think about.
Continue to take Instagram.
Yeah, I was just going to say, please take social media advice from Matthew here. Yeah.
Listen, my IG is on fire. Yeah. Like, you're great at Twitter, but I have to be honest.
We've thought it's a dumpster fire for a long time, Matthew.
No, listen, my IG is pretty strong.
Is it?
I'm getting there.
Is it?
How do you define strong?
I'll tell you exactly how I define strong. You want to know how?
Yeah, how?
Listen, I'm an old dude on Instagram. I'm not exactly Instagram's audience, and I'm at 115,000 followers.
Okay.
That's not bad.
How's seriously.
Good.
Like, I'm
good
not an Instagram model, and yet I'm over 100K.
If your IG is strong, then Field's IG is country fast and strong. I'm sorry, man.
Oh boy, Daniel. It's all about engagement, baby. All about engagement.
I have strong Instagram engagement.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do, actually.
I believe you.
Yeah, at Matthew Berry TMR.
Okay. We'll have to find out. Speaking of
let's play. Let's do a fair. Come on, right now. Let's do a photo. Me and you.
We can't do this all the time. It becomes a little bit of an old shtick. You can post a picture of you and I if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I was going to do that right now. We should post it at the same time.
Let's just get some good engagement.
Yeah. So get a good engagement. Here you go. This is this moment. Hey, hang on. That's a bad photo.
Oh, my gosh. I wish that you listening to this podcast could see the things that are happening in the studio. Matthew, I'm going to explain it. Matthew's trying to hold his phone out with a single hand while still hitting the button.
Right there.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. I'm going to send it to you. I want this to be a fair fight.
It's like, no, I don't
send it to you.
It's like,
you don't want to post it on
yours. You can post it on yours. That's fine. Go ahead. I'm saying that'll get you some good engagement.
Yeah. But you don't want to post it on yours at the same time?
No, I'm good.
Should I be offended by that?
No, I think he just has a threshold.
Daniel, that's a very simple but accurate statement.
But isn't that? But shouldn't I be insulted by that? I'm not good enough to make the threshold.
Maybe
a little bit. Has Kyle Rudolph worked his way into the weekly starter conversation amongst tight ends? Because Kyle Rudolph yesterday had another touchdown. He's got 5 in 5 games. He has at least 3 catches in each of those 5 games. Now the Vikings go into a bye week this upcoming week, and Adam Thielen has been banged up. We don't know if he's going to return after that bye week. At least stands to reason he's got a chance, but. Do we think it's possible, Matthew, that our friend, Mr. Kyle Rudolph, has worked his way into weekly starter conversation amongst tight ends? Matthew's too busy Instagramming, so I'll tell you what I think.
I'll tell you, too.
I was going to say, Daniel, he is at the top or near the top of players that aren't the obvious starts. Like, he's somewhere between tight end 7 and 11 for me, and he's part of a class that also includes guys, like, in a given week. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, people like, Greg Olsen can be there in a given week. Yeah. You can see Jacob Hollister there based off how he has played recently for the Seahawks. Players like that, Jimmy Graham, they're going to have weeks where they let you down, but they're going to have weeks where they get you 10 points, and that's more than enough. It's more than you can ask for out of that position, especially with recent injuries to someone like Austin Hooper and George Kittle, which depletes an already weak position.
4 touchdowns in the past 3 games, but, there's been no Adam Thielen, so... I think that's part of it as well, is Kirk Cousins sort of looking around for viable pass catchers.
Cousins is playing really well. He's a good red zone threat. Now, yesterday was a long touchdown. It wasn't a short touchdown, but still, when they come back from bye, the formula that has worked of late will continue to work for them. So I think I would say this, strong enough that other players, I like tight ends that at least are the number one of their team. I know Irv Smith is a good player too, but I like tight ends that at least are starters.
He's definitely the number one, and this is a guy that you know, has been
being
a
captain,
top 12-ish fantasy
their...
tight end, and yep. in some years a top 7 tight end. Like, at the end of the year, he ends up finishing there. But it is, it's one of those things, he is very touchdown or bust. Like, he's not a guy that, like, is gonna not score a touchdown, but still get you, you know, 4 for 84 and have a decent game. Like, yeah. I mean, so like, Darren Waller yesterday, had over 12 fantasy points, didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm very bitter about, by the way, because he was wide open, Derek Carr missed him. Derek Carr sort of motioned like, oh, Waller ran too fast. Come on, Derek Carr.
Right.
And Foster Moreau got another touchdown, and then Waller got another end zone target, and like, it was off one hand. It was just, again, slightly overthrown. He was covered well in that one. But so super bitter about that. But my point is Waller still turned in a productive fantasy day, even without getting into the end zone. I don't think Kyle Rudolph, as currently constructed in this offense, can get you a relevant fantasy day without scoring. He is the definition of touchdown dependent.
Which makes him like basically all but six tight ends. So yeah, put him on the radar. He's available at 60% of leagues.
But do you think he's good? Here's the question, I think, on Kyle Rudolph. So you mentioned they're on a bye this week.
Yeah.
Is he good enough that you are picking him up now and holding him through 2 weeks?
Well, back to what you were saying earlier about, like, this is the time of the year when you're considering playing defense.
Yeah.
Like, this would be the, if you have an extra roster spot, and there are only 4 quarterbacks left to go on a bye, Kyler, Phillip Rivers, Patrick Mahomes, and somebody else that I am forgetting off the top of my head. So that's 3 players, that are 2 players, Mahomes and Murray, that are definitely starting most weeks for you in your lineup if you have a quarterback.
Potentially Cousins.
Of course, yes. So, Mahomes, if you have Mahomes or Kyler, you're making new plans this week. But otherwise, there's a good chance you've already got the utility out of your backup quarterback. You can drop that player for a better tight end option.
Although we will see. Oh, Phillip Rivers.
Yes,
Rivers. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of news on this, and so we'll see. But Jameis Winston was hobbling at the end of that game yesterday. Like, he left
a thing on it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, Bruce Arians said after the game that he was nervous about his ankle. Like, he was out there hobbling. Like, so we'll see. But if Jameis Winston were to miss time, that would be significant. I think a lot of people are using Winston as their starting quarterback.
Sure. Yeah.
With one eye closed, squinting at the TV, not thrilled about it. But
some days it works. Some days it does not work. Anyways, yes, I think Kyle Rudolph, is he a priority for your last roster spot? Sure. No, he's not. But is he somebody that, if you are struggling with tight ends right now and you've been relying on any number of unreliable tight ends, then I think he's fine to add and stash for a week.
Let me ask you, Field, as the author of Free Agent Finds, our waiver wire column on ESPN.com, which will be up later today, right?
Yes.
They haven't replaced you as author yet?
Not yet.
Okay, good.
But there's still time.
I noticed Keith making notes and sending emails right now. I'm looking back in the window everything like that. Yeah, look, he's got, there you go. He's already got his list of potential replacements.
Got it. Okay.
Of people that will get Devontae Parker over 50%.
Nice.
I think that's a personal feeling on your part.
Wait, David Johnson's amongst the authors because he's retired from fantasy football? Is that what you're telling me?
Wow.
We'll get to that later on. Right?
Wow. That is rare shade from Field Yates. Usually the shade is reserved only from me, but wow.
I thought, didn't he retire?
Secret squirrel.
He didn't have a touch yesterday. Is he
That's weird.
Playing?
No, I didn't. I guess I didn't. I started him. He got me 0 points.
Should have started Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, well, you should have beat me.
That. That's true. I did. I lost you in.
It looks like you're going to lose to me.
It looks like I'm going to lose to you. Yeah. It's very upsetting in our show league, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. America's really sad about it whenever you lose a fantasy to me specifically.
I don't believe they are. But my question here, Field Yates, is I give you another award-winning segue. As the author of our Free Agent Finds column, what is more important to you, Kyle Rudolph or Cameron Brate, who had 10 catches for 73 yards yesterday on 14 targets? O.J. Howard was benched, I think, after 16 snaps?
I'm going to answer that question after we take a quick break and get a word from, I believe, the Fantasy Show. We'll be right back to talk about Cameron Brate and much more.
Ooh.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
We're back, and now we're going to answer the question that Matthew posed to me just prior to our break there about Cameron Brate and whether I think there's more value there versus Kyle Rudolph. And my answer is that I don't even know if Cameron Brate's going to make the waiver call, Matthew, because you know why?
Why is that?
I have no idea what the Bucs' plans are for our tight end week to week. How can you possibly put any faith into a player becoming the guy in Tampa Bay, given how fickle the nature is of how they treat tight ends? I don't mean treat, like, personally. I just mean how they utilize their tight ends. Like, how can you buy into anybody right now in Tampa Bay?
Here's how. They hate O.J. Howard.
Okay, but
hate's a strong word. Like, hate's a strong word. But my point is that we've seen Cameron Brait have success with Jameis Winston before. We've seen Cameron Brait have fantasy success before. O.J. Howard got benched yesterday. Like, the first interception, Jameis did not play well yesterday. But the first interception was entirely on O.J. Howard.
It was that kind of went around the world of O.J. Howard and gets picked off.
Right, exactly. Like, that was a perfectly thrown ball that O.J. Howard just bobbled and then ultimately bobbled into the hands of the Saints. And so their upcoming schedule at Atlanta, at Jacksonville, home to Indianapolis, at Detroit, is actually a pretty good one for opposing tight ends. And so it's one of those things that's sort of like, you'd have to be deeper league and have to be pretty desperate, but I'm not ready to dismiss it as just like, it was one of those games, whatever. Because I think as they're sitting here trying to figure out this offense, and they're clearly not able to run the ball. Like, and by the way, the Falcons defense all of a sudden is world beaters after two games. Like, they've completely turned the ship. And so my expectation is they'll try to take Godwin and Evans out, like, just like the Saints did yesterday. And that's one of the reasons why Brait got as many targets as he did, is that the Saints did a good job of neutralizing Evans and Godwin yesterday. And so, I do think, again, for deeper leagues, for tight end desperate, Kyle Rudolph on a bye, Travis Kelce on a bye next week, Hunter Henry on a bye next week. Like, it's going to be a ugly tight end week.
Sure will be. That's for sure.
Right?
Yeah,
I don't think Cameron Brait's a nothing. I think it's worth noting that, if we get some clarity on O.J. Howard's playing time from, beat reporters and other kind of stuff, like, because Bruce Arians just, after the game, and we can move on after this, but Bruce Arians after the game, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something effective like, I just don't get it. He's like, he's a talented player. We know he's talented and skilled, but it just doesn't show up on Sundays. Like, a pretty damning quote from Bruce Arians just saying, like, we don't know what's going on with this guy because we know he can do it. He just isn't.
Randall Cobb is what's new again. He has consecutive 100-yard games with a touchdown as well. You buying this recent production from Randall Cobb?
As it relates to fantasy, no.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because they play the Patriots next week in New England. Then they're home to Buffalo.
Yeah.
They're at Chicago. They're against the Rams. So maybe. But the next 2 weeks, I can't imagine using Randall Cobb.
All four of those games look tough to me, don't they?
They do. I mean, but the Rams, at least, I think you can do some stuff with a slot. The Rams don't defend
a little bit. Yeah.
You know, it gets
Jalen
easier.
Ramsey, he'll go and shadow him. But, yeah, I mean.
Jalen Ramsey will shadow Amari Cooper, or Michael Gallup. I'm not sure which one's better at this stage.
Come on.
Michael Gallup's pretty special, though.
He's a good player, yeah. Really good
Michael
player.
Gallup's pretty special. I would actually pivot this. So, for me, no, not yet. It's been two nice games. But it just sort of, to me, what the Randall Cobb production recently has done is it does two things. It just further solidifies Dak Prescott, clearly a top five quarterback. And, fantasy rock star, 100%.
Amazing. Guy's been
and
lights out.
He's been unreal, and he is somebody that is going to get paid, in the offseason in a significant way. And so I know a lot of people are, not super excited about the Cowboys. Like, but look at their upcoming schedule. And it certainly gets a lot tougher, right? Patriots, Bills, Bears, Rams. But given the emergence of Randall Cobb, and we already know how good Cooper and Gallup are, and then you've got obviously got Ezekiel Elliott, who they're starting to involve a little bit more in the passing game. Like, I would feel very good about Dak Prescott's production the rest of the way, and Cobb is a nice piece there. But in terms of picking him up and starting him, no, I think I would prefer the Debo Samuels of the world, the Devontae Parkers of the world, some of the other wide receivers that sort of emerged in a bigger way this game. One last thing, though, I want to talk about real quickly to pivot off this game. I'm just curious. Like, if you're drafting today for the rest of the season, Amari Cooper goes ahead of Michael Gallup, but I don't think he goes that much further. I don't think he goes a lot higher.
It's been a couple of good games in a row for Michael Gallup, for sure.
He's been ridiculous.
But I think about it
Thirsty
less.
Thirsty Kyle, what is Michael Gallup on he's wide receiver what since he came back?
Well, he had four straight games with four or fewer catches. So there was a stretch
but he's been
there
scoring
where it wasn't as great. I'm just saying that I think it's less to me about his value relative to Amari Cooper. It's more just about where he would stand amongst wide receivers in general. He'd probably be a top 25 or so pick right now amongst wideouts if you were to do the draft again. But even with that schedule for the rest of the season.
The thing on Michael Gallup, though, is what I think is relevant here is that coming into the season, the knock on Michael Gallup, Michael Gallup was a sleeper for me, he was a sleeper for a lot of people. But the people that were anti-Michael Gallup or that liked other people in the range of where Gallup was going. Their knock on him was like, look, this is going to be a run first offense that can only really support one fantasy relevant wide receiver, and that's going to be Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And I think what Kellen Moore and the Cowboys offensive coaching staff have proven, and Dak Prescott has certainly shown,
sure,
is that this can support multiple fantasy relevant wide receiver. And Thirsty Kyle throws up on the screen that over the last 3 weeks, in terms of total points, he's wide receiver 10.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup has been a top 10 wide receiver the last 3 weeks, total points. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 6. Randall Cobb, wide receiver 12.
Yeah, it's been a busy passing offense for them. Let's move on to the team they played yesterday, which was the
Lions. That's when he came back, right? Gallup came back 3 weeks ago. Thirsty Kyle?
Checking
on that.
Checking.
Over the past 3 weeks, he has been really good, whether that was when he returned or not.
I wasn't sure if it was 3 or 4 weeks.
Jeff Driscoll, who, other side of this game yesterday, filled in again for Matthew Stafford, who could be out more weeks. I know that Adam Schefter reported yesterday it's essentially a 6-week injury. We'll see whether or not Matthew Stafford actually takes the full 6 weeks to get back. He's a tough dude, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But Driscoll has 45-plus points over the past 2 weeks filling in for Matthew Stafford. They now play the Redskins. Specific to week 12, we're in week 12, right? Is Jeff Driscoll a streaming option for week 12, Matthew? Because
yes.
He was rock solid yesterday. Yeah. They play the Redskins tomorrow, yeah.
They play the Redskins on Sunday in week 12. So here's the thing. Driscoll, who showed a little bit of mobility with Cincinnati, but much more now with Detroit. I mean, he ran some with the Bengals, but, I mean, 13 for 88 and a touchdown in his two starts. So he's been using his legs quite a bit. And so, look, you know, 27.5 fantasy points yesterday after having a really nice game in week 10 as well. Over the last 2 weeks, Jeff Driscoll is the sixth best quarterback in fantasy.
How about that? And so, again, it has not been pretty. He's completed in just 58.3% of his passes. Daniel will tell you the offense has been far from a juggernaut the past couple of weeks. But because of the rushing ability and because he's going to create some plays when under duress, there's enough there to believe this is a streaming option for week 12. Who would have thought that would be the name that we were pounding the table for in week 12, the second to last week of the regular season, and Jeff Driscoll is a potential top 15 option.
And look at their upcoming schedule. So at Washington, you like them there. Home to Chicago, which isn't great, but doesn't scare you the way it used to. At Minnesota, which is actually a really good matchup these days. This Viking secondary has been... Brandon Allen went in there and almost like, you
I'm
know.
I'm still scared of the Bears, for the record. I keep telling you, I still think this Bears defense is really
good. But even
really good.
So, even like, the Bears defense is good. They're no longer great.
I don't know about that.
So, either way, regardless of whether you use them against the Bears or not, right?
Yeah.
We'll sort of see when we get there. That's week 13. I understand you might be a little nervous.
A little nervous,
especially week 13. But anyway, three of the next four, at Washington, home to Chicago, at Minnesota, home to Tampa Bay.
This is all assuming he's still the starter. It sounds like Stafford's coming back sooner. But
it could be. It's a 6-week injury. Who knows? It looks like they're not making the playoffs, you know, like, so.
I'm worried about week 12 right now. Let me just start there. I think for week 12, I'm confident in Jeff Driscoll as a streamer.
Before we move on to our next topic, I just want to take one moment here since we're talking about Jeff Driscoll, starting quarterback of your Detroit Lions.
Correct.
To take a moment here to wish a happy birthday to
our very own
secret squirrel, Daniel Dopp. It was his birthday yesterday. At Dopp Mama on Twitter posted some adorable photos of you as a young, beardless child.
Accurate.
Yes. And so I just want to take a moment to wish you a happy birthday. How was your birthday?
It was fantastic, Matthew. Thank you for asking.
I love you, buddy.
And I love you too, man.
25 years old. It's a very notable number for you. You can now rent a car on your own.
I know.
Any other perks you enjoyed yesterday?
My insurance rates go down too, which is pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, you hung out, watched some football, just sort of, you know, you did some stuff.
Any goals for the next year now that you've begun a new one?
Yeah.
Get a promotion.
Working on Mina Kimes podcast Bill Barnwell or any other show other than this one.
Yeah, pretty much any podcast other than this one. Yeah.
Maybe getting on Katie Nolan's show for next year
or something. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Help ESPN Minus get off the ground maybe a little bit.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
How many Minus have now?
Yeah. Probably like, I don't know, 25, 30 million.
Million.
Right, something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's some small number. I mean, we're getting there. It's still a homegrown
playing video
operation.
Games with Matt Prater again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are,
nothing wrong with that.
Those are pretty good.
It was a good birthday though and all. It was a good weekend, relaxing weekend.
Kick on a show that's actually on TV.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Throw a touchdown pass in an NFL game. That'd be awesome. Right?
Yeah. That would be cool.
We all love to
catch another touchdown pass from Russell Wilson.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. For me to catch a touchdown pass from Russell, the only way it would get better is if maybe I caught one from Jeff Driscoll or Dan Orlovsky or, you know.
We can make that happen. We got guys.
Yeah.
We can make that happen.
We could definitely reach out.
All right. We'll kind of,
anyway, happy birthday, Secret Squirrel.
I appreciate it. Thank you to everybody.
Stop. Are you crushing it at work like Daniel is? Are you laser focused on beating that boss level? This doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. DoorDash can help you get your next meal from your favorite restaurants in minutes. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, not Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code FOCUS. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code FOCUS. Don't forget, that's promo code FOCUS for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. All right, Deebo Samuel has been a player that we've talked about a couple of times already on the show in reference to other top wide receiver ads. Forget him being a must add. I think he should be added in all leagues right now on ESPN Fantasy. And we'll write about him on the waiver column, which will be out on Monday. Matthew, has he already entrenched himself as a top 30 play, a flex option in most leagues?
Entrenched himself?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I mean, I think he's definitely a must add. I think he's right. He's definitely somebody. And I think, as long as George Kittle is out, then I think so. You like the matchup this week at home against Green Bay on Monday Night Football. I'm a company man. But then at Baltimore, at New Orleans, they might have Lattimore back, home to Atlanta, which is suddenly a good defense. So I think he's in the flex conversation, but I'm not sure he's a set it and forget it, don't think about it, doesn't match up independent kind of guy.
Okay.
Because I think the 49ers still want to be a run first offense.
I do like this stat though from Twitter, from Kyle. I don't know, I just saw Twitter. Here's the list of active wide receivers that have had consecutive games of 6 catches and 110 yards as a rookie. Odell Beckham Jr., really good player. Michael Evans, really good player. Julio Jones, really good player. And Deebo Samuel, pretty good company to keep right there. The 49ers certainly have found themselves a keeper in Deebo Samuel. So Samuel, I think...
Idea. I'm gonna tweet that stat.
Okay.
I'll give that... I'm going to give you credit there, Thirsty Kyle. I'm going to tweet it. And you go ahead and talk while I tweet.
So Deebo Samuel is a player that we do think merits consideration in all leagues. He's available in about 75% of leagues. But the story of this game, in my opinion, is the fact that David Johnson did not see a single touch in this game. That's right, David Johnson, who was active, who was healthy, who was a full participant in practice this week, did not see a single touch in the game. It was the Kenyon Drake show. Kenyon Drake, once again, dominated running back touches. And if you roster David Johnson, you're frustrated. You played him because you know why? Well, I shouldn't say you definitely played him. But on Fantasy Football Now yesterday, I introduced my opening thought of the day was that if I have David Johnson in my lineup, I would be considering finding somebody else to play if I had the options. Because there were some wins, some signs that perhaps David Johnson was not going to be the dominant running back for the Cardinals on Sunday. Instead, he didn't play at all. I'm stating the obvious here, and there's no debating this right now. Until further notice, you cannot play David Johnson in fantasy football. You just can't do it. I don't care about who they're playing. I don't care about any of that stuff. They're on a bye this week. You cannot play David Johnson when he returns from a bye in week 13. There's too much risk right now. How are we supposed to understand the psyche of Cliff Kingsbury, the play caller for this offense, and expect that David Johnson's all of a sudden going to get right back into the lineup? He's fully healthy. The guy is fully healthy according to their injury report. He had 0 touches yesterday. I'm sorry. David Johnson was one of the players that was highly drafted this year. David Johnson is not usable in fantasy football.
Did you happen to see, did you see David Johnson's tweet yesterday after the game?
Nope, didn't see it.
So our digital video producer Kenny is going to put it up for those watching the screen. But after the game, this is what David Johnson tweeted out. It says,
Welp,
dot, dot, dot.
0 touches for David Johnson. David Johnson, who this is a player who was due 10 $6.2 million in guaranteed salary next year. Zero touches. Fascinating week.
That seems like a lot of money.
It is.
That seems like a lot of money for a guy you don't use.
Correct. Bottom line,
how do I get one of those
end
gigs?
Of story, you cannot
how do I,
play
I,
David Johnson.
I feel like
Johnson.
I have the opposite of that gig.
You can't play David Johnson until you see it again. You can't. I mean, unless you are totally desperate. I don't think you can do it.
Here's what I would say is that, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So on Fantasy Football Now, we have this thing called the Red Zone, which is, and it's sort of an over-under thing where we take, sort of player props and we keep track and we have fun with it.
Yeah.
And the prop yesterday was for over-under 50 yards, 50 total yards for David Johnson.
Correct.
I took the under and I was just like, boy, it's so interesting. I took the under and I was just like, and then after I took it, I'm just like, because we don't get the questions ahead of time. It's just like, we're sort of in the moment. And I was just sort of like, oh boy, 50's not that much. Boy, did I just make a mistake? I won that by 50. I mean, I had 50 yeah. yards to spare. It's mind-boggling to me. And this is a guy that wasn't on the injury report field. I mean, like, as we talked
that.
About,
yes.
right? I mean, like,
yeah.
it's like, so I would agree with you. And I think the larger point is not only can you not start him, but that you drafted him assuming that, he was a first-round pick, a first or second-round pick, depending on when you drafted this year. Here's a guy that, you need to move forward. The trade deadline is Wednesday. You need to assess your team with the idea that David Johnson is out for the year and have the mindset that anything you get here from here on out from David Johnson is gravy. Because you can't assume, based on what we've seen, that you're going to get anything from him. Like, they were competitive in this game. I don't think there's anything in that game that makes you think that Cliff Kingsbury is like, you know what? We got to change things up. We got to get David Johnson more involved.
He had fewer touches than Quentin Nelson yesterday, Matt.
I mean,
Quentin Nelson's a guard.
Right.
For the Colts.
Yeah. Scored a touchdown.
It's called back, which is Bush League.
Yeah, totally. He was in.
All right. So, David Johnson, as we say, you can't play him until you have actually seen the game. You just can't play him. They go on a bye, and then you can't play him.
But what I'm saying, Field, is beyond that. Is I'm
yes,
saying
I
you
agree.
Need to, right, you need to, it's beyond just like you can't play, but like look at that hole in your lineup and be like, oh, I've got until Wednesday to figure this out because the trade deadline is Wednesday. Figure out when, obviously, the trade deadline is in your league, but in the ESPN standard leagues, if your manager just did the default, it's Wednesday. And so, assume for the purposes of kind of looking at your roster management that David Johnson is out for the year. It's
more
a shocking turn of events there, by the way. Two touchdowns for Ross Dwelly in this game as well.
We have more trade talk coming tomorrow on the show, by the way, with the deadline on Wednesday, as you were just referencing. And Matthew, you had Ross Dwelly as your long shot on Fantasy Football Now yesterday. So
Ross
Dwelly comes through. The Arizona Cardinals continue to be the gift that gives to opposing tight ends.
It's unbelievable.
How comfortable are you with Tom Brady or Carson Wentz as your starter heading into the fantasy playoffs if you are blessed to get that far? Would you even consider starting either one of them right now?
Consider starting them, sure, yeah. Depending on what other options I have. How comfortable am I? Not super comfy.
How about this? I ask you to disagree.
Okay.
It's all about the schedule coming up, right? For Tom Brady, over the next 4 weeks, they play the Cowboys, who have really struggled defensively of late. The Texans, who are really, really thin in terms of cornerback play. The Chiefs, who we know they've had their struggles all year defensively.
And then that's
and the Bengals. Yeah. All of those are reasonable. Actually, they're actually very good matches for Tom Brady, in my opinion. They play two of those four games at home. And again, the one on the road is at Cincinnati. I don't consider that a particularly difficult task. Carson Wentz has the Seahawks, the Dolphins in Miami, the Giants, and then at the Redskins. Again, none of
good
those
schedule.
Scare me. And I understand that right now, as crazy as it may seem, because the Patriots' weapons are not necessarily scary, the Eagles are less scary, right? I mean, right now, yesterday, Jordan Matthews is starting for them. Guy was signing off the street. I understand he's been there before, but the Eagles are so banged up at wide receiver right now. And we don't know when Alshon Jeffrey is going to return. And I know that Tom Brady has traditionally struggled, or has slowed down, I should say, in the fantasy playoffs before gearing up for the real playoffs for the Patriots. But I still believe, I actually think the Patriots offense has a chance to build some confidence over the next 4 weeks. Same goes for the Eagles. Both teams have a lot to play for. Philly is still very much in that NFC East mix. I'm not saying that I'm ignoring other options that are available, but right now I'd imagine there's not a surefire, obvious top 10 option available via waivers. I actually have more confidence in these guys than I think you would expect me to have based off how ugly yesterday's game was offensively.
The question isn't whether I would start them. The question was how comfortable. And I would still say I'm a little bit uncomfortable because, honestly, off the bye, against Philadelphia. That should have been a good matchup. If we talked about this, you know, a couple of earlier last week, and you'd asked me the same question about Brady, you said, look at their coming schedule.
Right.
Philadelphia doesn't scare you with those corners.
Sure. No,
they had to go to Edelman in a trick play to score a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only question. Like, you know, Mosanu got a little bit banged up. Their run game, you know, struggled against Philadelphia. That's not surprising either. I think and part of the problem is, as it relates to Brady at least, is that the Patriots defense is so good. They don't need to get into shootouts. They don't need to, Brady did not play well yesterday. The offense as a whole did not play well, and they still won.
Yeah.
They won 17-10.
Sure, no, I get it. So I think we kind of are, I'm a little bit more confident in both of these players. There's not like a quantifiable, like, you know, hey, what's the action that I take versus you? I guess just a matter of how you view the upcoming schedule and just sort of your built-in confidence to both teams.
They're both very talented real-life NFL quarterbacks.
Yep.
They both have fantasy-friendly offenses around them, and they both have schedules that get easier. So those are all positives, but I don't think you can say they're 100% out of the woods. So cautiously optimistic?
There. Good enough. Works
for
me.
There you go. Let's move along.
Because who would have thought this was going to happen? Joe Mixon has been good over the past couple of weeks,
dude.
Matthew. He had his first rushing touchdown of the season yesterday. 15 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. He had over 17 fantasy points. You mentioned this, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. But fantasy trade deadline is noon Eastern time on ESPN.com on Wednesday. If you had the opportunity to either invest in Joe Mixon, would you feel comfortable doing so? Or if someone made you an offer for Joe Mixon, would you be entertaining said offer given how he has played over the past couple of weeks?
I think I would prefer to trade Joe Mixon.
Prefer to trade away?
Yes, than sort of trust anything in this offense.
Okay.
Yeah, you know?
I think I feel the same way for you. The schedule upcoming is the Steelers, the Jets, who, by the way, lead the NFL in yards per carried allowed. They're the best. The Browns, the Patriots. I think with Joe Mixon, he's been better the past couple of weeks. But if you could get a usable piece week to week for Joe Mixon, a starter in either your wide receiver or running back spot or a solid flex play, I would entertain trading Joe Mixon. It's just too much of a small sample size. They're too poor offensively consistently. And, you know,
by the way, and their upcoming schedule.
Like,
so Steelers this week, that's a tough run defense.
Yep.
Jets are actually a very good, despite whatever the big play from Darius Geis, Jets, believe it or not, actually a decent run defense too, right? And so
number one run defense in the NFL in terms of yards per carry allowed, yes.
Right. And then, you know, you've talked about this too, right? Their schedule, right? Yeah, I mean, just whatever. I'm just sort of reiterating here. But, Cleveland and New England. Interestingly enough, just as we talked about the quarterbacks there with just circling back there on the Brady Wentz conversation real quickly for 1 second.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield. I think that's sort of interesting. So Baker Mayfield plays Miami this week.
Yep.
Jacoby Brissett plays the Texans on Thursday night.
Okay.
And Sam Darnold gets the Raiders. So three guys that are all available in over 50% of ESPN leagues, all three guys that have played well in their last game, and in some cases, like with Brissett, from the majority of the year, and have really good matchups.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, Brady, who has a tough matchup with Dallas. It's not a tough matchup. Not a defense that scares you, but it's not a, you know.
Kirk Cousins just diced him. Jeff Driscoll just diced him. But like right now, the narrative
Are you saying Tom Brady's better than Kirk Cousins or Jeff Driscoll?
Just slightly more accomplished. But no, right now the problem in Dallas is they are struggling so much defensively. They are offensively a juggernaut and defensively the opposite of that. That's the concern right now in Dallas. So, anyways, I think I have more cautious optimism than your cautious optimism. So we don't feel great about Joe Mixon right now, to the point that we will be investing in him. If you get a usable piece, certainly feel free to do that. Time now for a crappy promo.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
We are getting close to the holidays. It'll be Thanksgiving soon, and then as soon as Thanksgiving hits, all of a sudden it's the holidays, and it's going to be Christmas, and it's going to be Hanukkah, and you know, and we've got fantasy seasons ending, and so what to get the fantasy fan in your life, or even for yourself?
Yep.
Some swag from fantasylife.com.
Yeah, love
whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's a sweatshirt, how about a trophy? We got some amazing trophies. for your league champion and for your league loser. We have some loser trophies as well. We have some great tumblers and coffee mugs, hats, like you name it, with a bunch of fun phrases as well, including some for Secret Squirrel and Yater's Gonna Yate.
Yeah.
And the curse of Stefania Bell. And so all your friends here at the 06010. And so, check it out, fantasylife.com. And you can, use the promo code MB10 and get 10% off. So,
MB10.
Yeah. Like MB10, 10% off at fantasylife.com. Tell him Matthew sent you.
Okay. This one, the last game of the night saw Mitch Trubisky leave the game because of a hip issue. Some were wondering whether he was just benched. The Bears say, no, it was a hip issue. And it sort of flared up in the second quarter. Ugly game, 17-7 was the final. Todd Gurley did look pretty good, but it's weird how we're like, he had 25 carries for less than 100 yards, and people are like, yeah, Todd Gurley's back. I love Todd Gurley, but lest we forget what happened over the past couple of years, like 175 total yards is back for Todd Gurley, right? Last night, though, still an encouraging effort, but for the other side of the coin, Matthew.
Just, I think, listen, the 25 rushes than, was encouraging. He caught three passes, which going into that game, he had one pass catch over 13 yards, or one game with over 13 yards receiving, I should say. So just the fact that even was it wasn't as much as you would have liked, they also had a lot of three and outs as well. I mean, the offense didn't look great, but I think if you have Todd Gurley, you were encouraged by last night because the offensive line played better and they committed to Todd Gurley. You know, he got vultured by Malcolm Brown at the end, but still did get one touchdown. To me, the bigger concern was the passing game. Goff once again looked awful. Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, almost had a big play. Had a big play, but almost got into the end zone on that. Fumbled like at the 1 yard line, something like that. But you know, and it was a weird game because Robert Woods inactive at the last minute.
Right, personal reasons kept Robert Woods out. Don't know the nature of those, and don't want to speculate on those as well. From a Bear standpoint, though, true or false, you cannot plan on starting a single Bear for the rest of the season,
other than the defense.
Other than the defense.
I'm still probably starting Allen Robinson when their schedule gets like it was just Jalen Ramsey, you know what I mean? But it's not ideal
for a team that was better, right? I mean, the schedule is better from a cornerback perspective. Giants, Lions, Cowboys coming up, so you like that for Allen Robinson. But there's going to be maybe Tyler Bray is the quarterback going forward
because it's not just Jalen Ramsey. I mean, it's the quarterback,
right? It's the quarterback. The offensive line's bad. The running game is terrible.
You know,
Montgomery had 14 carries for 31 yards last night.
So bad,
yep.
Awful. Awful. I'm still so. It's sort
Tariq
of the similar.
Cohen's got some value because of his receiving.
Yeah, it's the same answer that I give you in terms of when you were talking about Brady and Wentz. Like, am I confident in starting Allen Robinson? No. Would I still start him? Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, circumstantially, I get it.
Yeah.
The defense though might be a little bit of an issue too. And I look at their schedule in the playoffs: Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, Minnesota, four of the best offenses in football right now.
Yeah.
Maybe a sell high. If there is any value in selling high on the defense right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. It's a tough year right now in Chicago. They have to do a lot of self-scouting. It's going to be a very fascinating offseason for the Bears, not to look past the final six games of the season, although some Bears might actually choose to do that. Tough times right now in Chicago.
And yet, still in better shape than Washington.
There you go. Tomorrow.
Can I ask you a quick question real fast?
Yes.
We're going into, you know how Matthew always does the Monday Night Miracle tweet?
Yep.
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
I'm up by 30 points on Matthew Berry.
Yes.
I have Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Matthew has Damian Williams.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And Hunter Henry.
Ooh.
Which side do you like? He's projected to beat me by like 3 points.
Yeah. So this is in our show league. So yeah. So Tyreek Hill, Damian Williams, and Hunter Henry versus Keenan Allen and 30 points.
I think I like Matthew on this one.
No, Field.
I really don't like to say that, Daniel.
What?
I really don't. Yep.
He just cursed me though. He just cursed me. I actually do think Keenan Allen has a big game tonight.
I hope so.
But I think Tyreek Hill is just, I mean, Tyreek Hill is a guy that, like, can have 15 points in one play.
Right.
I mean, he's just,
it's going to be so close.
Estadio Azteca, we cannot wait for that game.
Is it Estadio
later,
or is it Estudio?
Estudio Azteca, right?
Estudio Azteca.
For those of you that watch on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, as we mentioned, a lot of trade conversation tomorrow, a recap of Monday Night Football. I'm sure we'll talk about what happens in that Matthew and Daniel matchup, plus the usual waiver wire moves that you need to know. If you have questions about trades, send them to the Twitter handle at Fantasy Focus. We'll give you some options, some ideas, some input on those trades.
Tomorrow will be a trade heavy day. So yes, certainly use at Fantasy Focus and Not Cool Keith. We'll comb through them and give them to us. But for at Field Yates on Instagram and Twitter, where his Twitter is better than his Instagram.
To be determined.
Be sure to wish Daniel a happy birthday on Twitter at Daniel Dopp and on Instagram at Something to Break. For at Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter, at Keith Lipscomb on Twitter. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, including TikTok, except for the Fantasy Life app, where I am merely at Matthew Berry. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew.